Mark and I share a lot of interests and hobbies and things that we'd like to talk about. But the foundation of our relationship and the things that we talk about is Jesus Christ. And that's what our brother Mark's going to talk about tonight. And so I ask that you would give him your prayerful attention as he brings us the words of truth from God's holy word. Brother Mark Hill.
Thank you, Dan. And we do share quite a bit of hobbies and interests in common. I have nothing really new to bring tonight, which most of us that stand up here don't, because the things that were written long ago, but they're pertinent today as they were then. The things that I'd like to talk about tonight are things that I need to remember for sure. I believe that one of the worst things that you can do as a Christian is profess to be a Christian and then not act like it. And I fall into that category from time to time. When things don't go our way at times, I tend to, to get frustrated and to act like a child. Throw my little tantrum and wonder why. Maybe you all have been there also. I hope not. I'm going to start in Genesis. Marvin mentioned Cain and Abel this morning. And so I'm going to start in Genesis 4. Because I feel like the things that I have to bring forth this evening will help us in all respects of our life. In our workplace, in our conversations one with another, in the way that we deal with people day in and day out, in our marriages as couples, I'll talk about charity and love and quite a bit of other things tonight. Let's just get into it and start. Genesis 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain, to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, while they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Jealousy plays a big part in our emotions and covetousness and wanting to please people and getting jealous when we're not the ones that are held of a higher esteem than maybe our brothers and sisters, and so I feel like that's what happened here was Cain slew his brother out of jealousy. But it also goes on to say, And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And so I ask a question of myself and each and every one of us. Are we our brother's keeper? I'd say yes. We are. And it's not to put them down or to make them feel lower than ourselves or to lift ourselves up, but it should be for edification in respects to helping our brothers and sisters to be better individuals. But sometimes that's not an easy thing to take. When I've done wrong and I've had people bring it to my attention, I've gotten better at being able to look at why they're bringing it to my attention. And the main reason is, especially people within the church, is to help me to be a better individual. And it's humbling. And I think I've gotten a lot better at taking it that way. I'll have to leave that to those that have conversed with me over those type matters. But I open it up because I feel like I need people, and all of us need somebody to hold us accountable, to tell us the things we're doing right, but also to help us out when they see us doing something that isn't charitable or Christian-like. Because I fall from time to time, and I need somebody to tell me that. I'd rather have them do it than the Lord chastise me, I'm telling you right now. I don't know how many of you have been chastised of the Lord, but it's not a fun thing to go through. I've been there, and one day the Lord went for a ride with me in my truck in the country several years ago in spirit, and by the time he was done chastising me for being a liar, I wanted my mom. But it was all done in love. So we are a brother's keeper. In the 27th chapter of Proverbs, I have one verse, and it's verse 17. Proverbs 27:17, and it says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. If you've ever sharpened a knife with what they call the steel, which is iron and iron, I don't know, maybe some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but it's this rod that sticks up, and you have this knife, and you fling it back and forth, and be careful that you don't cut your fingers. But when you get good at it, you can fly through that, and what it does is those two pieces of steel, it sharpens the knife up. And sometimes to do that, there's friction involved. Not sometimes, it is friction. Go back to physics I wasn't real good at. So it's not always easy when we have a brother or a sister that wants to help sharpen us up as a Christian. But yet we still need it. We need an accountability partner or several accountability partners to watch out for us so we can make the cut someday and get into heaven. And help us to be better Christians so as we're in this fishbowl and the outside world is looking at us, we can truly act like Christians and act like the things that we believe, and therefore they won't have reason to... I'm at a loss for words. Reason to say we're not Christians when we say we are. If you're married, it's very nice if you let your spouse be your accountability partner. Not to cause friction one with another, but to help each other out. And hopefully, and most times it is, done in a loving way. Because your spouse loves you, or they wouldn't be your spouse. I want to go to the 7th chapter of Moroni. So on page 768, and it talks about charity. It can also be found in the Bible in 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter. But I like the way it's worded here in the Book of Mormon on page 768, starting at verse 50. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed with it at the last day, it shall be well with him. It's preached over and over again, and there's a reason. Because if we have the pure love of Christ in our hearts for each and every one of us, we'll help each other to be better Christians, to be better individuals, to be better husbands and wives, better workers in our workplace, and better conveyors of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I do want to go to 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter for just a few verses. First Corinthians 13, I'll just read verses 1 through 3. Paul speaking here says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And we can go out and profess all the things in the world. We can speak all the greatest things about love and charity and Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior and how great we are as Christians, and then turn around and don't follow after the attributes of charity, and it's all falling apart. And that's what we sound like. That's what we are, is a tinkling cymbal. You know, I can envision people's ears, and you're talking and spouting things off, but your lifestyle doesn't show the attributes of charity, and it's just a tink, 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 tink. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. It's something that we're to possess in our hearts as Christians. It's a lifestyle. For me, it takes practice day in and day out to remember those things. Especially when it talks about endureth all things. I don't have the best patience in the world. And so I feel like there's times that the Lord helps me to practice patience. Because practice makes perfect, and I need all the practice I can get, especially when it comes to the attributes of charity. I'm tested on a semi-regular basis, I feel like. And sometimes I do get frustrated when I'm out in the middle of nowhere all by myself and it's just me and the Lord. I do. I go, why? And the answer I get is, it's because you need practice, Mark. And he's right. I try to take out my frustrations where the only person that knows it's going on is me and the Lord. I have plenty of things, ways to do that at work because I'm out and about in a rural atmosphere. So hopefully when I want to throw my little temper tantrums, it's in private. But the Lord knows what's going on. It's not like I've seen in real life, to where somebody professes to be a Christian and for whatever reasons it doesn't go their way, and they'll pick something up and smash it on the ground and get so frustrated that people start looking at them sideways. I need practice. I want to go to 2 Nephi. I always like to give people a practice in thumbing through their books. 2 Nephi is on page 162, being the 13th chapter, where it's talking mostly about baptism and what needs to be done and reception of the Holy Ghost, repenting of sins. And after that, we have been cleansed and received a remission of our sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost, and received the Holy Ghost, and we've gotten in the straight and narrow path. And in verse 27, it says, "And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten in the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ." He is our boss. He is our leader. He is the example that we go by. He is why we are called Christians, because we follow after Jesus Christ. He's the one that laid down his life for us because he loved us that much. "Having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men." We say we have a love of God, but then do we show it that we have a love of all men? That's another place I fail at. Because I have a tendency to unrighteously judge somebody because of their appearance or something they may say or the way they act at times, and I don't know where they've come from. I haven't walked a mile in their shoes. I don't know the person, but I make unfair judgments on people. So I ask myself, do I have a love of all men? Because it says here that that's what I'm supposed to have. I fail. But yet I'm working on it. I'm trying to possess that charity that I've spoken of, not only when I'm out and about here at church, but when I'm out and about in my workplace and when I'm at home. Hopefully I practice it in relationships with my wife and my children and my grandchildren and those that I work with and those that I come in contact with day in and day out. Because that's what we're asked to have, is the love of God and of all men. I'm going to go to the sixth chapter of Galatians. I don't know why I have trouble with the THs. Galatians 6, verse 1. And the reason I bring these things up is to help us to recall our minds to being Christians, helping each other out, edification. And yeah, you have to bring things up that are not pleasant at times to bring up. But do I do it to knock someone down and make me feel better? Or do I do that to help the individual become a better person? questions I have to ask myself. Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Restore him in the spirit of meekness. You can crush someone knowing the things that they have done. But if you do it in meekness, you do it in a way that helps them to bring it to their minds what they have done wrong and why they shouldn't be doing it. Not to push them down, but to lift them up. Lest thou also be tempted. We're all made of the same structures. We have the same senses. We have the same emotions. And we can all be tempted. So as we're helping somebody out, we need to be careful, because those temptations may make us fall. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." When you compare yourself to the Christ, to Jesus, the one that we are to compare ourselves with, we are nothing. It doesn't do us any good to compare myself with Roger or with DA or with anybody else in here. But what I need to compare myself with is Jesus Christ and how he lived his life. And to try to lead my life in such a way that it would be pleasing to him. Because he did pay the price for the sins of each and every one of us on the cross. And with the beatings that he took. And we are bought with that price of the death of Jesus Christ. But we have the hope in his resurrection also, to live eternally with our Lord and Savior and with God. Verse number 9. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Have you ever gotten weary of trying to help somebody out? And you know you're doing good and the right things, but yet it just seems like it's going in vain. Well, we shouldn't give up. I get discouraged at times, but then I'm always reminded. I get this little spiritual tap on my shoulder, and in my mind I hear this voice: "I never gave up on you." And it's humbling. I know that if somebody doesn't want to be helped, you can do all the things in the world and it's going to be of naught. But we're still to not be weary in well-doing. Jesus Christ himself cannot change your mind if you don't want it to be changed for the better. You have to be willing to truly repent of your sins, change the way you think. Because from experience, I know if somebody is an alcoholic or addicted to drugs or whatever, if they don't want to quit, you can't make them. But yet we should be willing to help them out. If they truly want the help, they're going to get it. I know for a fact. But yet we're still not supposed to be weary in well-doing. Got to keep after it. We need to bear each other's burdens. The heavy loads that we have due to whatever reasons. It could be financial. It could be spiritual. We need to help each other out. Not that we should be somebody's source of income day in and day out. But to help them to have a hand up, you might say. Because sometimes some people need just some type of encouragement. Especially in this economy, sometimes you just cannot make ends meet sometimes. And they might need just that little bit of money to get them through to the next month, and then they're on their way again. Or maybe they need spiritual uplifting. Just a little bit of encouragement that they can make it. That they can be better individuals. I have a hope that I can be a better individual. I'm going to go back to the Book of Mormon on page 259. Ninth chapter of Mosiah. Alma has been preaching to a group of people that have been hiding in the wilderness from King Noah. And in verse 38, it says, "And it came to pass that he said unto them, Behold, here are the waters of Mormon, for thus were they called. And now, as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God, and to be called his people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as a witness of God at all times and in all things, and in all places that ye may be in, even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God, and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. Now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your hearts, what have ye against being baptized in the name of the Lord, as a witness before him that ye have entered into the covenant with him, that ye will serve him and keep his commandments, that he may pour out his Spirit more abundantly upon you? And now when the people heard these words, they clapped their hands for joy and exclaimed, This is the desires of our hearts." To become a follower of Jesus Christ and to go down into the waters of baptism, I feel like you really need to have your heart in the right place and be willing to be ready to help people carry their burdens. You know, a burden is a weight. It can be a physical burden or it can be a spiritual burden. I feel like more times than not it's talking about spiritual burdens. The things that weigh us down in life, whether it be diseases or people, things don't seem to go our way and we get weighed down. We need to be able to help those people out and maybe just talking with them, giving them an ear. Sometimes you just need to let people vent. But it needs to be a desire of our hearts. think I'm going to go to 1 John, the third chapter. I don't think I know that's where I'm going. First John chapter 3. Start with verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who is that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brother, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death into life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We have to show that we love our brothers and sisters and those around us, not just say we do. In this church, we have a storehouse fund that helps people out, whether they need some type of help, whether it be food or whether it be whatever type of substance it is. And it's not for a source of income, I might say. But the reason we do it is because as a church, we love each and every one of us, of you, of us, because it is us. It's not a them. It's not a we. Well, I guess it is a we. I'm sorry. I'm stumbling over my words tonight. I apologize. It's not a us versus them. It is a we, because we are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And we need to show that love towards each and every one of us. Let people see it in the way we treat each other. Second chapter of James. Because we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to everybody around us. But if we don't show it, what good is it? James 2, verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? And I know he's talking about faith and works. But what does it profit if somebody comes in here and is truly destitute and needs help with something, maybe just gas in their gas tank, and we have them set through the sermon, and we talk to them about salvation and how great Jesus Christ is, we put our arm around them and say, good luck. That's nice, but their gas tank's still empty. And I'm not real good at just giving out money. That's just the way I am. But if I can help somebody out, I like to take them to do whatever they need to do. If they need gas, I ought to go out of my way to go get them some gas. Maybe it's selfish on my part and it's not a trusting thing just to give them money because I don't know what they're going to do with it, but yet that should be on their shoulders. But yet, I don't feel like I'm being wise with the finances that the Lord has given me if I just give it to them and say, there you go, have a nice day. And they go out and buy alcohol or drugs with it. If somebody wants food for money or money for food, I ask them if we can take them down to McDonald's or whatever's close and buy it. It's just me. I'm not telling you what to do with it, but I feel like it shows them that I care about them, not just that, here's some money, leave me alone. Page 170 in the Book of Mormon, second chapter of Jacob. Excuse me. I'm going to start at verse 22. They have this temptation that comes into my mind at times, like, I ought to play the lottery so I can get rich. But then, why do I want to get rich? Because I'm selfish. I want the money for myself. I don't play the lottery. For one thing is, I don't believe in it. And another thing is I know that I'm wanting it for my own lust, not to help somebody out. Verse 22, think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and am I at the right place? Yes. Think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all, and free with your substance, that they may be rich like unto you. But before ye seek riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God. And after that ye have obtained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches, if ye seek them. And you will seek them for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked and to feed the hungry, and to liberate the captive and administer relief to the sick and the afflicted. Not to consume it upon our own lusts. But it is a fault I have, and I have to say the temptation's been there. Do I do it? No. It's one that I can walk away from very easily. I asked a person at one of these convenience stores once, they were buying $20 worth of the scratch-off things, tickets or whatever. And I said, I'll take that 20. And they looked at me like I was nuts. And I said, I can do better with it than what you're going to do with them tickets. I don't think they understood where my humor was coming from. Because I explained to them that they don't do that so you can make money. They do that so they can make money. The odds are not in your favor. The big fancy hotels and motels in Vegas with all the gambling and stuff, they didn't get those built by losing money. They got them built because the odds are not in your favor that you're going to win. And I don't believe it's doing God's will to use the money that He's given you in that fashion. Because we're consuming it upon our own lusts. Now, maybe in a dream, if I was given the numbers to choose and knew for a fact that they were the numbers that I should pick to win the lottery, I still probably wouldn't do it. because I would think it was coming from the devil instead of the Lord. But then maybe if I was told that when I won that money, if I was to take it to somewhere that needed it, maybe I might consider it. But yet it would be a temptation, so I would probably not believe what I was told. But when I pray for things, I try to be very careful that I pray for them, not to consume them for myself. But that maybe I can help somebody else out if I'm in a better state. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for those things, but if you want to pray to get rich, I think you're praying for the wrong things if you're not going to use those riches to help people out. And it's easy for me to say because I'm not a rich person. In things of monetary value, I should say. Because I do feel like I'm a rich person because I have all of you as brothers and sisters to hold me accountable for the way that I live my life, to help me to be a better individual and more Christ-like, that I might be able to be the salt that we're and the light that we're called to be. In Matthew, in the 25th chapter, it talks about do unto the least of these, and therefore you're doing it unto Christ. You know, giving somebody a drink, giving them something to eat, giving them a coat to keep them warm. That's what Christ says. If you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Page 221 in the Book of Mormon. It's the second chapter of Mosiah. It's a little bit lengthy reading, but it's one I'm going to close with. Page 221, the Book of Mormon, Mosiah, the second chapter. I'm going to start at verse 24. King Benjamin, and he's in the, what is termed the proclamation, King Benjamin's proclamation, but there's a whole lot involved here as far as lifestyle and being Christian. Considering others. Verse 24 says, "And you will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably and to render to every man according that which is his due. And you will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked. Neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel one with another and serve the devil, which is the master of sin, or which is the evil spirit which has been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But you will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. You will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And also ye yourselves will succor those that stand in need of your succor. You will administer of your substance unto him that standeth in need. And you will not suffer that the beggar putteth up his petition to you in vain and turn him out to perish. Perhaps thou shalt say, the man hath brought upon himself his misery, therefore I will stay my hand and will not give unto him of my food, nor impart unto him of my substance, that he may not suffer, for his punishments are just. But I say unto you, O man, whoso doeth this, the same hath great cause to repent. And except he repenteth of that which he hath done, he perisheth forever, and hath no interest in the kingdom of God. For behold, are we not all beggars? Do we not all depend upon the same being, even God, for all the substance which we have, for both food and raiment, and for gold, for silver, and for all the riches which we have of every kind? Everything we have comes from God. All the money, the clothes on our backs, the cars that we drive. Yeah, we work for it, but it can be taken away like that. And behold, even at this time you're calling on his name and begging for remission of your sins. And hath he suffered that ye have begged in vain? Nay, he hath poured out his Spirit upon you, and hath caused that your hearts should be filled with joy, and hath caused that your mouth should be stopped, that ye could not find utterance, so exceeding great was your joy. And now, if God, who hath created you, on whom you are dependent for your lives, and for all that ye have and are, doth grant unto you whatsoever ye ask that is right, in faith, believing that ye shall receive, oh, then, how had ye ought to impart of the substance that ye have one to another? You know, I don't have a lot of money, but our pantry is usually full. And when whatever type of organization comes around to the door, I always try to give them as much canned goods and stuff that I feel like I can give to them to fill their little sack up if it's not a giant bag. Because that's one thing I am rich in. So I try to help those things out, because most of it goes, that they come around, they say it's going to Harvesters, and I feel like Harvesters is a worthwhile charity. And if you judge the man who putteth up his petition to you for your substance, that he perish not, and condemn him, how much more just will your condemnation for withholding your substance, which doth not belong to you, but to God, to whom also your life belongeth. And yet ye put up no petition, nor repenteth not of the things which thou hast done. I say unto you, woe be unto that man, for his substance shall perish with him. And now I say these things unto those which are rich as pertaining to things of this world. And again I say unto the poor, ye that have not, and yet have sufficient, that ye remain from day to day. I mean, all you that deny the beggar because ye have not, I would that ye say in your hearts that I give not because I have not, but if I had, I would give. It's a matter of where our hearts are at, even in the giving. And now, if you say this in your hearts, you remain guiltless. Otherwise, you are condemned, and your condemnation is just, for ye covet that which ye have not received. And now, for the sake of these things which I have spoken unto you, that is, for the sake of retaining a remission of your sins from day to day, that ye may walk guiltless before God, I would that ye should impart of your substance to the poor, every man according to that which he hath, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, and administering to their relief, both spiritually and temporally, according to their wants. And see that all these things are done in wisdom and order, for it is not requisite that a man should run faster than what he has strength. I don't know as we're supposed to go run up a charge card to help somebody out. I think that's running faster than what we have strength. And I may be in disagreement with some, but when it says in verse 43, according to their wants, I think that is according to their needs. And it's not according to what they want. I want 100 acres of woods that I can hunt on. Is anybody going to give it to me because I want it? I don't need it. But yeah, I want it. if that makes any sense. I'm hoping that the things that I've brought forth tonight will help us out to be better Christians and better brothers and sisters. Because the things that speak of charity aren't, well, it goes both ways on accountability. We have to be charitable that we can accept to accept it when somebody comes to us and sees that we are doing something wrong and talks to us about it and not get upset. But yet also, if we go to that type of person, if we go to those people, if somebody comes to me, I hope you have charity in your heart. Not to put your thumb on me and squeeze me down, but to help me out. Some of the things I talked about as far as giving to the needy and stuff. It's not a redistribution of wealth. It's helping somebody out with wealth. It's helping somebody out with the things that we have. Lending things to them, knowing that we're going to get it back. It's not, maybe this is my political statement, maybe I shouldn't say it. I don't believe in the redistribution of wealth. People work to be wealthy, and I'm hoping that they use it in the right way to feed the hungry and to clothe the hungry, not as an income for somebody else. I'm not real big on welfare. I believe that it's made people lazy. I'm not against charity. I think people need a helping hand. But over time, the things that started out good may not be good. I believe that churches need to help people out. I believe that they need to help their members out especially because they are of the same faith. Not that we should shut the door on people, but in this day and age, there is shysters that will come in and take you for all they can get. I think we need to be wise and not run faster than we ought. But I do believe in charity. I believe in loving one another. I believe in loving all men. Am I good at it? No. But yet it's something that I have to practice on, especially when it comes to the attributes of charity. I thank you all for listening. I hope that I have sparked an interest in learning more of the scriptures and what they say about lifestyles. Thank you.